Thanks, Greg. Yes, we're backstage with soloist Edgar Moreau. Welcome to Philadelphia.
Thank you very much. That's a great pleasure for me to be here for the first time, actually.
Ah, and that was a beautiful performance of Tchaikovsky's Rococo Variations.
Oh, that's so nice. It was really nice, and that's a piece I really love to play, actually. It's, I think, the first piece I played with orchestra, or maybe the second piece, even when I was really young. I mean, I'm still young because I'm 24 years old, but when I begin my first orchestra concert, that's one of the pieces I played the most, actually. So I really love to play it, and it's a wonderful conversation, actually, between the soloist and the orchestra. And there is a lot of variations, a lot of, virtuoso passages, you know, like, and it's really a lovely piece.
And it really shows the cello, the range, both in terms of notes and in terms of emotional expression.
Exactly, because Tchaikovsky alternates actually a different kind of expressions. Actually, of course, you have all these notes and all these technical difficult passages, and it's really a challenge, you know, for musicians. But you have also all these beautiful themes and beautiful melody on the third variations and on the sixth variations also, who are like maybe the crying moments, you know, of this piece. So it's a wonderful exhibition, you know, for soloists, because you can really show a lot of different things, and you can really enjoy a lot of different sides of the instrument.
It's interesting that it's one of the first pieces you played with orchestra, because I understand it's very difficult in terms of fingering and just the fact that the cello plays so much of the time.
Yeah, you're right. Actually, I don't know why, you know, sometimes you don't choose which piece you play, and I'm really glad that I played this piece, actually, kind of really young, when I was really young, you know, because, of course, it's a wonderful challenge. I already said that, but it's really true, so it's good to be able to play it you know, at the beginning, because that's maybe one of the most difficult pieces, I guess, for cello and orchestra. It's not so long, but you have so many things and so many tricky place, you know, in this Tchaikovsky Rococo Variation. So, yeah, it's a wonderful piece for cello and orchestra.
And there, for a while, there were two versions, mm-hmm. because Tchaikovsky wrote it with the help of a cellist, mm-hmm. Wilhelm Fitzenhagen. But then I understand he went beyond helping with the solo parts and kind of reordered the whole thing. But this piece you just played is the original Tchaikovsky version?
Actually, no. Actually, the story is that Tchaikovsky wrote the first version, so the original versions, who are not so played, actually, because it's, I don't know if I can say that, but it's less good than the Fitzenhagen versions. Tchaikovsky wrote this piece, and Fitzenhagen, who was his friends, his cello friends, said to Tchaikovsky, you know, you should put the variations in a different order, actually. In the original versions, you have one more variations, so I'm not playing it, because it's not in these versions, but I guess this Fitzenhagen version is more public. It's more, it makes sense, actually, you know. And of course, Tchaikovsky said after that, okay, the Fitzenhagen versions, my friend's versions, is better than the first one I just composed, you know. It's always, you know, difficult and strange to choose which versions played. When I was a little bit younger, and when I was a student, actually, I played a lot of the original versions, and I wanted to be, you know, like fidèle, you know, to the right. What I saw, it was the right versions. But now I play all the time these Fitzenhagen versions, as my many others colleagues who play also these versions, because it's the most beautiful versions, actually, we can say. The order of the variations are more logical, you know, and of course it's more yeah, it's just better to play these versions.
Better written for the instrument.
Exactly, it's better written for the instrument and even for the public, for the audience, you know. Like the order of the variations is better in this way.
Okay. And Tchaikovsky really loved Mozart. Mm-hmm. Do you see similarities? Do you hear Mozart in this piece?
Yeah, yeah, it's a Rococo version, you know, so that's an homage, you know, to all the Rococo period. So you have a lot of classical, even Barocco spirit, you know, or this theme, you know, it's really classical, you know, there is nothing Slava or there is nothing romantic in this theme, and that's a true homage to this period of music, and of course Tchaikovsky was a lover of music, and of course a lover of Mozart, of Schubert, of Beethoven, of Bach, and we can feel all his example, musical example and ideals, you know, when he wrote this piece.
You've played it so many times then, and you've played it with different orchestras. How are you finding your experience in Philadelphia?
In Philadelphia, yeah, yeah, it's amazing. You know, of course, the Philadelphia Orchestra is one of the best orchestra in the world, I guess. I really, truly, yeah, guess that. And it's wonderful here, and the collaboration with the maestro and with all the musicians here was perfect and really, really nice, actually. Even after the first rehearsals, a lot of musicians talked to me a little bit, and I really felt a warm welcoming here. Of course, I played it with a lot of orchestra, but here the orchestra is really top level, and even the hall, the acoustic of the hall is really nice, and I'm really, really glad to play my debut here in Philadelphia and with this amazing orchestra.
That's great. Do you have any particular favorite parts of the piece?
Good question. I don't know. I guess I should respond every part of this piece.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, now you've been playing the cello since you were 4 years old. What drew you to the cello at that young age?
Actually, you know, the story is that I was walking in Paris, so my hometown, with my father, and I saw a little girl who were playing the cello in a shop in Paris, you know. And I just said to my father, I want to do that, you know. I didn't know what was the name, what it was, this instrument, but I just fall in love, you know, with the instrument. And I don't know for the little girl, but I said to my father, I want to play this instrument. And and my father and my mother just put a cello inside my hands. Yeah.
When did you decide you wanted to make it as a career?
I think quite early. I began the cello when I was 4 years old, and I guess when I was 6 or 7, I wanted that music will be a part of my life, you know. It was quite logical, you know, in a way. I didn't remember, you know, like I didn't have the feelings that I had to make a choice in one time in my life. I just knew that cello will be my life.
So you never considered any other career?
No.
Well, by 11, you were playing with orchestras, mm-hmm. and you went to conservatory at 13, mm-hmm. and you've won all sorts of prizes, and now you play with orchestras, you play chamber music, you're playing in festivals all over the place. Mm-hmm. Do you have a plan in terms of how to, what repertoire to pursue, or what you want your life to be like as it goes forward?
I don't have exactly like a plan. The thing is that I like to play a lot of different things. I don't want to specialize in like one repertoire on another. I have I'm really lucky because I work with a lot of wonderful managers, and I have a lot of people I trust around me, and I have my family who are supporting me, and I have my girlfriend and my friends, and I feel like kind of not established, but you know, like I feel that I know where I'm going, you know, even if I don't know exactly in details. And I'm really interested about a lot of projects, and I always want to do more and more things. Of course, now I have a lot of concerts, like more than 100 concerts a year, so that's really a lot. Wow. And I'm traveling all the time, and that's a tough life, but also an amazing life, and really a rich life, you know, in terms of you know, I learn all the time by meeting a lot of different persons, by working with a lot of different conductors, but also chamber music partners and pianists and people who are working in orchestras, in festivals. And that's, you know, like kind of a crazy life. But also I have all these managers and people who work with me, and my family, and all people who are close to me, who are my kind of, I don't know how to say, but who take care about me, yes. You know? And so I have the feeling that it's a lot, but it's wonderful, and I'm really lucky to have all this person around me.
And I guess as you play all over the place, the classical music world becomes smaller and more familiar and more like family, because you run into the same people.
Exactly. And of course, here it's the first time in Philadelphia, but I hope not the last. But I'm used now to go in a lot of places I've already been. And so, of course, you have, now I can say that I have friends all over the world sometimes, and that's a wonderful thing also, you know, to sometimes know that, okay, I'm going in this city, and I know this person or this person, okay, I will play with this conductor, I already played there or there, and the same with musicians. So of course that's a small world and an amazing world, and that's just a pleasure, you know, to be part of this world.
What do you like to do when you have downtime and you need to unwind?
You mean when I'm not practicing or or traveling or sleeping? Because it takes a lot of time, you know, like to practice and to sleep. It depends. When I have a little bit of time, I like to visiting the city I am. For example, I went yesterday to the Philadelphia Museum of Arts. Or
oh, yes.
Yeah, exactly. So it's wonderful, you know, to be able also to discover a little bit museums or parks or, you know, things to do in some cities. I can also be a chill person, you know, so I like to watch TV shows or movies or TV series. You know, I have a pretty basic life when I'm not traveling, practicing or sleeping, who are taking most of my time. So,
are you hooked on any particular TV shows?
Right now, I'm looking at a TV show called La Casa de Papel. Like, it's a Spanish TV show, so I don't know if you guys, American people, know this TV show, but it's a wonderful TV show. But I'm a Netflix consumer, yeah. So.
That's great. Well, you've recorded three albums, one called Play, which is short pieces and encores, Giovincello, is that right? And which is 18th century cello concertos. And what is the most recent album?
Also, the most recent album is the Moro Cadouche, so the chamber music French repertoire. I played with my friends, a French pianist, amazing, named David Cadouche. But actually, my new album will be released in maybe 1 week or something like that. Yeah, it's really new. Also with Warner Classics, with Erato, my label. So it will be a fun program, because I will play on this album the Gulda cello concerto and the Offenbach cello concerto, who are the Gulda is a little bit a mixed. Friedrich Gulda was a wonderful composer, conductor and pianist. He was the teacher of Martha Argerich, the pianist, the famous pianist, and he wrote this cello concerto, who are a mix between classical music, jazz music, rock and roll and baroque music. It's like kind of crazy melting point crossover concerto for cello and orchestra. Actually, for cello, brass band, electric guitar and drums. So that's a kind of strange concerto, but it's really amazing music.
Well, that's great, because then I think more and more people are talking about blurring the genres and mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. and borrowing music from different forms. And
exactly.
So how did you choose the pieces that you were going to record on this album?
Because I wanted to, exactly what you said, I wanted to be, you know, to try something new and to propose to the public something, of course, always with excellence, you know, always with a top level, but I wanted to propose something a little bit different and a little bit fun. So this concerto is amazing, and so I was searching for another concerto who could fit with this project, and the Offenbach cello concerto, this is a military cello concerto, really different from Gulda, but it's also a kind of strange piece, you know, and I'm really proud for this project, because it's really, I think artistically speaking, it's a wonderful album.
So music is such an important part of your life, and you're doing some really interesting things. What does music mean to you, and what role do you think music can play in our culture?
I guess music is one of the most incredible arts. Of course, now we have music everywhere. I'm not talking necessarily about classical music, but you know, when you are in the supermarket, you have music. When you are when people are taking the subway, or when people are in the car driving, people in general like to listen music. And I guess music, you know, music. The music can have this great power to change a little bit the life, you know, like things are more beautiful or more happy or more sad or more. It's like a how we can say, it's like everything can be exacerbated.
It taps into all the emotions and makes them more intense.
Exactly. All emotions can be more intense with music. So I guess it's something really special in the life of everyone, actually. And I think, you know, in general, culture and music can also, I mean, when we are talking about the performing arts, you know, in general, and like why it's so important to preserve the culture and preserve the music and preserve the performing arts, and why I think people should continue to go to the concerts, and to, because now we are in a strange world, you know, like we have so many informations with all these phones and all this connected, you know, life with televisions and internet, and like everything goes so fast, you know. Sometimes I guess human brain and human soul needs to be able to just sit and to watch and to listen wonderful music, and I guess it's maybe the most beautiful thing in the world. I don't know if it's really clear the way I explain that, but I'm sure that in the future, times and life can become really, really crazy. And I guess the human people, you know, like people in general, will need music to survive.
Music helps keep us centered and
exactly
reminds us of the beauty in life.
Exactly, I guess.
Wow, thank you so much.
Thank you,
Edgar Moreau.
Thank you so much. It was a great pleasure to play here in Philadelphia. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to get a little bit of ambient sound, if that's okay. Is there anything else you want to talk about?
No.
Okay.
It's perfect for me.